The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." How does one prepare the way of the Lord? How does one make straight the pathways of God? How does one make one's own life ready to receive the Lord, make one's own life ready to receive the King, make one's own life ready to receive God? How do we prepare the way of the Lord? John the Baptist proclaimed this message by calling out to people and telling them to repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. So often we hear that word repent and we just kind of shudder when we think about it. That sounds like a judgmental call. It sounds so judgmental to tell someone, repent. After all, if you have to repent, it means you've done something wrong. When in reality, repentance is simply changing one's mind. The Greek word is metanoia. Metanoia means to change or transform your thinking or your mind. Well, I've changed my mind many times about many things. I change my mind almost all the time about stuff. I'm always reconsidering what I believe, reconsidering how I believe things, giving new thought and new direction to my thinking as to what I believe and how I believe it. So changing one's mind, repenting, is something that I'm very familiar with. Of course, there's always the reality that I need to repent because, quite frankly, I'm constantly doing stuff wrong. Who here doesn't sin? Raise your hand if you don't sin. Any hands up except mine? No? Good. I don't think there's any one of us, not a single one, who would deny that there is at least something in their life that they are not proud of, that they don't want to have shown to the whole world, that they don't want God to see. Now, that sounds kind of silly if you think about it. God knows and sees everything. You can't possibly hide anything from God. Well, we try to hide things from God. We try to pretend as though we don't have anything to repent of. There are people who think, oh, I am just about as perfect as I'm ever going to be. They just kind of nauseate me. And yet, sometimes we're that way too. Oh, my thinking is perfect. I have a complete understanding of what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. I don't need to change my way of thinking. I don't need to adjust my mode of thought. I don't need to adjust my points of faith. I have a perfect faith in Jesus Christ. And then I open the Bible and read a passage of Scripture. And it's like, uh-oh, I didn't see that before. This thinking, this way of talking, this idea just changes or tweaks or adjusts my way of thinking, causes me to change my thinking, causes me to metanoia. Repent. Change my way of thinking. Change my way of acting, because in reality, it's not just thought that needs to be changed. It's action that flows from thought. Sin is not just thinking something bad or wanting to do something bad. That definitely can be a sin, but it's acting on it. Just as faith is more than believing something good, faith is more than believing in Jesus Christ with your mind. It's also then placing your body into action and doing something about that belief. Placing your body into action, your mouth into action, your hands into action, your feet into action, and doing something about what you believe. That's true, effective faith. When you reach out with a cup of water or some clothes or some food to someone who is thirsty or naked or hungry, when you reach out with a helping hand to someone else, when I was coming back over to Irving on Friday from my mother's house in the middle of the ice storm, I noticed there were all these cars that would spin out on the road, and there'd be people who they'd go flying past me as if there was no ice on the road at all, and they're in their great big four-wheel drive truck. Oh, I don't have to worry about this ice. And then they hit a bridge. And of course, as they went speeding by me, I said out loud to, you know, the empty car, I hope you have an accident. And then the very next thing, they hit that bridge, they hit that really black ice, and they spin. And you know what I did? I went, Well, when I finally got to the bridge, that truck, which had spun several times and was now sitting over on the wrong side of the road, was spinning its tires trying to move. And of course, it couldn't go anywhere. And I just kind of rolled on over the bridge, went by him, and kind of grinned and thanked God oh, that I hadn't been in his way. Then I come across another car. It's also stuck. It had tried to turn off of Beltline Road onto a side road and had gotten stuck in the turn. And I saw outside of the car this short little old lady. So I roll my car to a stop behind her, put on my emergency brake, and put my car into park and get out and nearly need ice skates on and slide myself over to her and ask her if she needs any help. She says, I can't get around this turn. It's nothing but ice. And she says, I don't understand it. When I was lived up north in New York City and Buffalo area, we had no trouble with this stuff. And I said, you had snow with it. This was freezing rain. It froze on impact. Or it came down already solid ice pellets. There's no traction. She says, I don't know what to do. And I said, where's your house? She says, it's just up the street here. And I said, well, if you could get over, if you could get your car over onto that rough stuff right there, that rough chopped up ice, you'll get a little traction. I don't know how to do it. I says, well, I know how. I had her get in her car and put her car into neutral. Then I got in mine and very slowly came up until I touched the front of my bumper against the back of hers. And then I just let my idle slowly push her on over onto that rough ice. And then she was able to get traction and she drove on up the hill and on her way. Don't know her name. Don't know where she lived. Don't know nothing, but I knew a fellow human being in distress. I think we can all tell stories of when someone was in trouble and we helped. When someone needed help and God placed us there. Yeah, sometimes when someone goes speeding by and they're doing something stupid. Mother asked me as I was driving home, she said, what's the hardest thing about this trip? Because it took me over 2 hours to get home. Normally, a 40-minute trip took me over 2 hours on the side streets. She said, what's the hardest thing? And I said, the hardest thing is not the road, Mom. It's really not the bridges. It's the stupid people on the roads with me. So, yeah, I laughed at the person who went speeding by and spun out. Not very Christian of me. And then God placed this person in my path who needed help. How do you prepare the way of the Lord? How do you make straight the pathways in your life for God? What are you going to do this Advent to get ready for the coming of Christ? Now, you may think, well, I've got shopping I've got to do. This weather hasn't been helpful at all with all the shopping. I've got shopping I've got to do. I've got cooking and baking I've got to do. I've got cleaning I've got to do. And boy, I'm going to tell you, that cleaning part is the hardest part of all, isn't it? I was thinking, we're going to have Christmas at my house at the parsonage this year with my mother when she's post-surgery. And so I was thinking, well, for the first time in a bunch of years, I'm going to set up my Christmas tree. And I'm going to set up all the Christmas lights and the candles and all the stuff. And then I started looking around the house and realized my cleaning lady hadn't been there in about 3 weeks. And oops, the cleaning boy, me, is not very good at it. So I started cleaning, and while I was in the house all day yesterday with the ice storm, I cleaned, sorted, threw stuff away, got ready to decorate. I had to prepare the way in the house to get it ready. Because I know when my mom comes over, the first thing she's going to do is she's going to put on that metaphorical white glove, and she's going to start walking around and checking to see what's clean and what's not. And I know her, if it's not clean enough for her, she's going to start cleaning. And I don't want her doing that post-surgery. So I cleaned and I cleaned and I straightened so that I could then start decorating. What do we have to do? What do we need to clean? What hidden corners in your life is filled with dust and trash that needs to be cleaned? What dark rooms and closets? The closets are the wildest thing. What closets in your life need to be opened and aired, sorted through? Junk gotten rid of. Trash picked up. Floors vacuumed. What parts of your life, your heart, your soul, your spirit, need to be cleaned and made ready for the coming of Jesus? And I don't mean just the baby Jesus whose birth we will celebrate yet again. I'm talking about the coming of Christ our Lord to receive us. Remember, the first half of Advent is about the return of Christ, the coming of Jesus, the return of the Son of Man, and the coming of the kingdom of God on earth. What way needs to be straightened in your life? What closet of your existence needs to be aired and cleaned out? What cupboard needs to be straightened? What metaphorical floor needs to be vacuumed? Or in my case, what bathroom needs to be cleaned that's in terrible shape? That you would be ashamed if Jesus came to your house and said, "Can I use the bathroom?" And, "Oh, I'm not sure I want to let him use my bathroom." Jesus comes to your life, comes to where you live, comes to your spirit and soul, comes to your temple. Is it prepared to receive him? Are you prepared to receive him? A voice cries out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. Make his journey into your life ready. Make his pathway into your living straight." What must you do to prepare for the coming of Jesus for you? On this second Sunday of Advent, as we move on towards Christmas now, open your heart and soul to God and ask, what needs to be made ready? And then ask Jesus to come and help you make it ready. Help you become ready to receive him anew and afresh. "Make his path straight," cries out the voice in the wilderness. "Prepare ye the way of the Lord," cries out the voice in the wilderness of our lives. Listen to the voice and respond with faith and allow God's grace to make your pathways straight again. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of Northgate United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2013 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at Northgate United Methodist Church, 3700 West Northgate Drive, Irving, Texas, 75062. This program was produced by Dr. Gregory Neal.